Welcome to the Dayspring Audio Library, the teaching ministry of Pastor Daniel Rehoff. Thanks for joining us. We hope this message will have a powerful impact on your life. So sit back and enjoy today's time in the Word.
We're in the middle of a study through the book of Philippians, and we're going through it verse by verse, and we're kind of like in a mini series right here in the middle called Together. And this is about church unity, church harmony. The guy who wrote this, now think, the guy who wrote this name is Paul. Paul, where's Paul when he wrote this? Where is he? Do you guys know? He's in prison, right? So, but he started this church in Philippi, a city called Philippi. And he was the founder of the church, the original pastor. Now he's in prison, and so he's writing this letter to the church. And we always have to remember, he's writing it to the church. Sometimes we forget and think he's writing it to a guy named Philip or something, but he's not. He's writing it to the whole church, so it's a letter for the whole church. And this section that he's been on lately has been about, I want you guys to work together, okay? I want there to be unity in the church. I want there to be harmony in the church. Yes, the church isn't perfect. We all make mistakes. We're all human beings. We all offend each other. That's just the way it's going to be. But we can still be in unity. We can still be in harmony. We can still work together. And the church can keep doing the job that God's given the church to do. I think if we were to be honest with ourselves and look back over history, in America at least, I know a lot of churches that have closed. I know a lot of pastors that have quit. I know a lot of churches that have split. And it's never been because of the government. It's never been because of the local state. From my experience, it's always been from inside the building. The problem hasn't been outside the building. The problem's been inside the building. And Paul's like, no. That's not the thing. So it takes a lot of discipline, takes a lot of work on our part, all of us being selfless, all of us working together, putting ourselves aside, doing what's right. And so he's telling us in the book of Philippians, we're in chapter 3, by the way, it's all the way over on the right-hand side, small book. He's telling us how to act. He's telling us how to speak correctly. He's telling us how to treat each other. And basically saying, it's your job, guys. It's you're the church. It's your job to make sure that this church stays in unity. Yes, I'm the pastor. Yes, I have to lead the church. But I can't force it, okay? I can't bend your arm. You know, I can't take you out back and spank you. Sometimes I wish I could. but it's your job to be selfless and to have humility and have meekness and kindness and to make sure that the church works. So we're in Philippians chapter 3, and then this little part that we're going into right now towards the end of chapter 3, he kind of changes gears here a little bit, and this is where we're picking up. He's getting a little bit more personal. And he says this. He says this, what we talked about last time. He says, I've got a lot of degrees. I've got the right blood. You know, I've got the right heritage going. You know, I'm a Jew. I'm from the right class of Jews, from the right tribe. I've got all these accolades, and I could be viewed a really important person. But he says this. This is in the Bible. He says it. He says, all that that I have is basically a pile of manure. It's just that I have is a pile of manure compared to me getting to know my Heavenly Father, compared to me getting to fall in love with Jesus Christ as my Savior, getting to know Him and all about Him and so to speak, His likes or His dislikes, if that's the way to say it. Just everything I can know about my Savior, I want to get to know. And I want to know what He desires for me. And I want to know how He desires for me to live my life. And all my accolades and all my money and all my popularity is nothing but a pile of manure. That's just what he says. Just compared to that, it's nothing. Okay? Then he picks up on this section. So if you got your Bible, let's go. Let's dig into this. And he's going to lay out here a game plan. Let me just say this before I hop into verse 11. He's going to lay out for us a game plan about how to be successful. Listen, how to be successful in doing what God wants you to do. And this is for individuals, but it's also for church. He's going to lay this out. Some of these verses that I'm going to read today, you've heard before, but I kind of doubt, you've ever really read them in context, because there's a verse or two I'm going to read that are really popular. Oh yeah, I know that verse, but have you ever read the verse above it? and the verse below it, maybe that's a little bit hard to come by. So we got to kind of put it in together. And if you'll do that, if you'll lean into the next 2 minutes together, if you'll lean into this, if you'll learn from this, if you'll kind of apply yourself and turn on your thinking cap, you'll say, okay, yeah, I get what he's saying. I get how Paul's painting a picture for us to be successful. I'm getting the pieces of the puzzle together, okay? So it's going to take a little bit of thinking, going to take a little bit of paying attention here. Philippians chapter 3, tell you what, let's go backwards a verse. Let's go to verse 10. This is where we kind of left off the other day. Let's just read it. That I may know him, so Paul's saying, my goal in life, or what I want, is that I want to know Jesus, okay? I just want to know Jesus. And the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. And we talked about that verse. Now, verse 11, I don't think we really touched on, but I tell you what I'll do. I'll touch on verse 11 a little bit, but I don't want to sit here all day in verse 11. Look at verse 11 and continue the thought. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Let me just say in this verse, sometimes people get confused in this verse. Now, my version of the Bible makes it very clear that this is not something Paul's crossing his fingers for. So just look at the verse. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He's talking really about the rapture of the church when God brings everyone to heaven, those believers up to heaven, the resurrection even of the dead. Okay. There's kind of an attitude here in some versions of the Bible. It's written a little bit differently. It's almost like, I hope to be part of this resurrection of the dead. Or in other words, I hope to get to know Jesus because I'm hoping I'll be part of the rapture. That's the attitude that's presented in a lot of versions today. If you're reading your version of your Bible and it reads a little bit differently than this and you're kind of going, yeah, it kind of sounds like Paul's crossing his fingers and he hopes that he's going to go to heaven. Here's my encouragement to you. For that reason alone, I would get rid of your Bible. I would take it out back, burn it, shoot it, do whatever you want to do, but I wouldn't use that version of the Bible because right there it's implying that Paul is working his way to get to know Jesus, to do better so that he can go to heaven someday. That verse right there, if your version of the Bible implies that, if you're reading it and going, well, it does kind of make it sound like he's hoping and crossing his fingers for it, I'd get rid of it because it's implying good works for salvation. I just wouldn't do it. I wouldn't have a Bible that confused that. It's too important. I just get yourself a version of the Bible that states it like this, and to really understand it, here's what he's saying. If by any means I may attain unto the resurrection of the dead, he's just saying this. I sure hope I'm alive when the rapture comes. That's all he's saying. Remember this, guys. When Jesus left, he said, I'm going to go. I'm going to give you a comforter. I'll be back. Now think for a second, church. If I told you, hey, I'm going to go, you know, whatever, up to town real quick. I'll be back. You would think when? Well, he's coming back today or tomorrow or this week or this month. Paul never thought that we'd still be here in the year 2022, 2,000 years later. That's the farthest thing from his mind. He just kind of assumed Jesus is coming back, and I sure hope I'm alive when he comes back. Like, I'm ready. So, that's what he's saying. So, don't look into it any deeper. It's not any more heavier than that, but I just kind of want to clarify that. I told you I wasn't going to sit on it, and there I sat on it for a long time. Okay, we're going to get done at 2 o'clock today. No, we won't. Let's go. Verse 12. Here we go. Now, I want you to look at these verses, and this is what we're going to really look at, 12, 13, 14. And I want you to get this. He's going to lay out a real pathway for success in our Christian life. So here we go. Not as though I had already attained, and I kind of put some words in parentheses here for to help us kind of understand it or get a hold of, either already perfect, complete, but I follow after, and I'm going to explain this to you, if that I may apprehend or capture that for which I am also apprehended or captured of Christ Jesus. So look at the beginning of that verse, and here we go. He says this, not as though I had already attained. So he's saying this, I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I have some work to do. I haven't arrived. I'm not done. You know, I'm not perfect. I got some work to do. Let me just see a raise of hands today. Now be honest. Don't be spiritual, but be honest. In your Christian life, how many of you got a little bit of work to do still? All right. Yeah. How many would put both your hands up right now? Yeah, how about a lot of work to do? If that I may apprehend that for which I am also, or also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Now, the word apprehend, that's not a word that we use too much today. Well, we do. When you think of the word apprehend, think about it. Just think. Be honest. Think about it. What do you think about the word apprehend? What do you think it means? Like, what do you think? Well, when I think, what's that? What'd you say? Arrested? Well, Tabby, from your background, I could understand why you came up with that. I wasn't thinking that, but no, you're exactly right. What do you hear, you know, in the news, we apprehended the suspect. So we captured, we got a hold of. So Tabby, I'm messing with you. So look at that verse. He's kind of saying this, like, you know, when Christ apprehended me, took me into custody, right? Got a hold of me, you know, took me into custody. He didn't just save me to take me to heaven. But there's a purpose in my life. There's a plan in my life. And my responsibility and my purpose is to know why I've been apprehended. Why I've been saved. What is it that God desires of me? What is it that I should be doing? Now, think about this just for a minute. Think. The moment you trusted Christ as your Savior, you realize it wasn't my works, it wasn't what I'm doing, it's not my baptism, it's fully what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Think about that. You trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. You became a child of God's. Think. Why didn't God just zzz and bring you to heaven? I mean, why don't we just go to heaven? I mean, why do this whole thing, this church thing? Why are we still alive? You know, why? I mean, literally, why? Why didn't he just take those that trusted in Christ to heaven with him? Well, because he's got a plan. He's got a purpose. He's got some work for us to do. And keep going. Let's put all this together. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Would you do me a favor with your pen and underline those three words, this one thing I do? Well, make it four words. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth and those things which are before. So I haven't done all these things. I haven't arrived, but there's something that I'm doing. I need to understand. I need to know what God desires of me, how to be successful in my Christian life. He saved me. I'm still here. He's captured me. It's my job to capture why he's captured me, to understand it, to get a hold of, to grasp this. And what's the one thing he does? Look at verse 14. I press toward the mark. This one thing I do. I'm pressing toward the mark. Now, this is interesting. This word mark is not a person. It's a goal. Think of like a goal line. Think of an archer shooting a bow and arrow. There's a target. There's a mark. Think of football. Okay, football season's kicked off here in the United States of America. Church, by the way, don't forget, even when the Packers are playing, we are still having church on Sunday. Even if their game starts at 12:05, I'll be sure to be done at 12:06, just to spite you a little bit on that, right? So we are going to have church on Sundays. Don't miss church for a game. Just record the stupid thing and watch it later. All right, I'm for the Packers, but I'm for Jesus Christ first. Is that fair enough? Okay. So he says here, he says the mark, and it's, think of it like a goalpost. Think of it like an athletic thing. Football players throw a football, and what's the job? The goal is to what? Take it past the mark. Take it past the line. If you're playing hockey, the job is what? Is to hit the hockey puck into the goal. It passed to the mark. You're supposed to get it to the mark. A runner, he's running. What's his job? To get past the mark, right? To be the first one across the mark. And that's kind of what he's saying here. It's an athletic term. And my job here is to what? I press towards, I'm reaching toward. There's one thing I'm doing in my life. I'm moving rapidly ahead to cross the goal line. Okay, that's what I'm doing with my life. He's not talking about being saved here. Why? He's already saved. Okay, we know that. He's not. He's talking about his Christian life. I just want to be successful at what God's called me to do. God has a plan. God has a purpose for me. God has something that I'm supposed to be doing with my life. And just like a football player is running to try to make it across the goal line and pushing and knocking and blocking, I'm doing the same thing. I'm pushing towards the goal line in my life. I just want my life to be successful. I want there to have the success. So I'm going to cross the finish line. I'm going to do these things, but I want to be successful. Let me see a raise of hands. How many of you want to be successful in your Christian life? Let me be honest. Okay. I won't ask for a raise. How many of you want to be a failure? I don't think anyone wants to be a failure. No one plans that. No one. No one plans to be a failure, but you don't plan to be a success, right? And when you lack that, sometimes you're a failure. But he's saying that there are things that you can do. There's a pathway here that I'm going to talk about that he says, I want you to be everything that God wants you to be. Now think, if this was a sports term, think with me. If you were playing sports, who would be helping you along the way? You would have a what? A coach. And what would the coach say if you were on the football team? Well, I don't know, just take the ball and run across the line. Is that what he'd say? No. The coach would say this, you know, do this, dodge this, tackle this, move this way, you know, make a play like this. This is how you run. This is how you hold the football. He would be coaching you along the way. There is a pathway to get to success. You don't just say, I don't know, just go run across the line. Just, you know, no. There's a job. There's an effort. There's a plan to it. So go back to verse 12 and let's start to look at the plan that Paul lays out for us to be successful in our Christian life. Number one, write it there in your notes. Number one, if you got a pen, write it down. Know your purpose. Know the purpose. Look at verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect or completed, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend or get a hold of that for which I am also gotten a hold of by Christ Jesus. So God has a purpose as a calling for my life. Sometimes we look at that calling sometimes as our vocation. God saved us, so now what? God has a purpose for it. Well, now what? Well, God's given us jobs. God's given us things to do, and he wants us to be successful at those things. Say, Pastor, what do you mean? How about this? We talk about what's your purpose. Do you have kids? Okay. Your purpose right now is to be the best parent that you can be to those kids. That's your vocation. That's your job. God wants you to be successful raising those kids. Do you have a job? Great. Then God wants you, your purpose now is to be the best employee that you can be at your job, to be a best Christian employee. Do you live in the United States of America? Great. Then your job, your purpose is to be the best citizen that you can be as well. Do you attend a church? Do you attend the best church in Southeast Wisconsin? Yeah. Well, then your job is to be the best church member at the best church in all of Southeast Wisconsin. That's your purpose. That's your calling. That's what God's saying. Listen, I've got you somewhere. You're doing something. Your vacation, your thing. You have a position on the team. Now do it. You know, if we were talking football, you know, there's some people in football that some people are the quarterback. Great. Some people are the wide receiver. Great. Some people are the coach. Great. Some people are the water boy. Raise your hand if you're the water boy on the team. Yeah, right. Okay, well, then great. Then be the best water boy that you can be. Do that job. God's giving you that job. That's something you're supposed to do. You need to know what it is that God's called you to do, your purpose and your plan. Again, if you have kids, your purpose is to provide for them, to raise them, the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. If you have a job, great. Then your purpose is to be the light in the darkness, to use your job for the expansion of the gospel. Have you ever thought about that? Well, Pastor, I hate my job. I just make widgets all day. My job is kind of boring. Well, maybe it is kind of boring, but the reason, the purpose that you have a job is to provide finances so that you can take care of those wonderful children you have and to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and to use your tithes and offerings to help spread the gospel around the world. That's why God's given you a job. That's it. And if you're not using your job, if you're not using the finances that you get from your job to help spread the gospel, I'm being serious, then shame on you. Why do you have a job? To live the American dream? Church, do you really think God gives a rip about the American dream? I mean, do you really think so? Man, I hope they get a house with a white picket fence. There's nothing wrong with having things, but you better make sure that the reason, number one, that you have a job is to spread the gospel, okay? You better just make sure that's it, all right? And you know, not everyone's going to be a missionary in Africa. I get it. Not everyone's going to be a missionary in Asia. Great, I get it. But if you have a job and you get an income, you better make sure you're helping spread the gospel all around the world. You better just make sure you're doing it. And that's something between you and God. But you better make sure that you're doing it. And so your job is important. Don't ever think that your job's not important, Pastor. I'm just making widgets all day. Well, the bigger picture is it is important, okay? You're providing for your family. You're providing for your kids. Don't ever minimize that. Don't ever just forget about that. You're doing something great for the kingdom. You're doing some great kingdom work. And you just be faithful to the job God's given you. Let me say this. I've had people say this to me, because I hear this a lot by young people. Pastor, when I grew up, I want to be the CEO of a great big company. Okay, great. Wonderful. Then being the CEO of a great big company, you know where that starts? That starts with you showing up for work and pushing a broom. On time, every day. Leaving, you know, coming early and staying late. That's how the CEO, I mean, unless you're born into the royal family, you know, thank goodness I'm not, but unless you're born in the royal family, you know, don't just think, well, it's just going to happen, I'm just going to get lucky. All right, don't be like that. You want to be the CEO of a company? You want to have a big organization? Great. Then get out the broom and start pushing it. And you be a faithful, as a Christian, you better be the most faithful employee your company has. And then, Pastor, I got, you know, Christian persecution. They don't like me at work. It's from because I'm a Christian. I doubt it. I think they don't like you at work because you're lazy. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to be fair, right? But don't think, well, Pastor, I'm going to get a big degree someday, and my degree is going to get me a job. You know, I was talking about this the other night to some people. I think in America now, everyone has a degree. You can get them online. You know, you can get them pretty easy nowadays. A degree is not going to get you a job, I don't think, anymore, maybe. I tell you what's going to get you a job. What's going to get you a job is having hard work, having an initiative, and having enthusiasm. I tell people that we hire at this church, we have a lot of people on staff here, I don't hire degrees. With that said, if you go to our website and look at our staff, we have a lot of degrees here at this church. Our staff, we have doctors on staff. We have people with multiple master's degrees and multiple majors. We have a very highly educated staff, but I don't hire degrees. I hire enthusiasm, and I hire attitude first. I mean, that's it. I mean, that's it. Of course, spirituality, right? But that's who we're hiring. That's who you want, because you want people that are going to do the work, not just sit there and say, well, I deserve this or something like that. And guys, listen, young people, if you got some big goals in life and you got some things you want to do in life, then great. Then start with the small goals. Do the small daily goals first and let God provide and let God take care of those big dreams that you have. And that's fine. But it's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take some training. It's going to take a lot of time. And there's nothing wrong with having a big dream about doing something great with your life. That's wonderful. But be patient. Be consistent. Don't quit. And move toward it one step at a time. How about that? All right? And that's how you make progress, and that's how you do great things for God, is you just keep plugging along, keep plodding along. You put a lot of sweat into it. You put a lot of effort into it. You put a lot of sacrifice into it. You don't quit, and let God take care of those big dreams that you have. So, number one, know your purpose. Whatever it is that God's called you to do, you just know what it is, okay? Okay, if you got kids, okay, you better be the parent. You're in a church, you better be the church member. You got a job, you better be the employee. In the United States of America, you better be the citizen that God wants and God needs you to be, all right? Number two, take a look at this one. Know the process. So you got to know what the purpose is. Well, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Well, here's the process. Look at verse 12. Not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect or complete, but I follow after. Go down to verse 13, look at that. Brethren, I count not myself to arrived or apprehended. It's interesting, Paul's saying, listen, I haven't arrived. I'm not perfect. I don't have everything together yet. But I'm going to follow after my Heavenly Father. I'm going to keep pushing forward and going along. There's a process to this, and I'm going to follow it. And I'm going to do what this book says to do, period. That's how I'm going to raise my kids. That's how I'm going to be a good citizen. That's how I'm going to be a good employee. That's how I'm going to be a good church member. Is I'm just going to do what it is that God's called me to do. I'm going to follow the process. I'm not going to sit back on my backside and just say, well, look at the success I've been. Isn't that interesting? Think about that. Look at this. Paul says this in this verse. I don't consider myself to have been captured or to arrived or have gotten it. He's probably the most successful Christian that has ever lived. Think about this. Paul wrote half of the New Testament. Paul started all these churches. He's the guy that had to start this whole thing we call a church. And that was his job, to get that going. The most successful Christian we've probably ever known. And he says, I keep going. I haven't arrived. I haven't got everything figured out yet. I'm still moving forward. I'm still trying. I'm still doing things. There's a process. I want to know what God's called me to do. And I want to continually work. I want to continually improve the things God's given to me. I want to keep moving forward. It's interesting he's saying this because he's sitting in prison. But he's still saying, there's things I want to do. There's things I want to get done. I'm not just sitting down saying, well, look what a success that I've been. This has been great. Anyone that succeeds at anything works far harder and far more hours than anyone else can ever even imagine. You know, I hear people say this too. And they'll say this, Pastor, you know, have you ever heard this phrase? I'd give anything in the world if I could fill in the blank. I have a very good friend of mine who's a pastor who's a really good guitar player. And I have found myself saying this, I would give anything in the world if I could play guitar like this guy. He can light up that guitar. Let me ask you a question. Is that a true statement? I'd give anything for that? It's not a true statement. Why is that not a true statement? I'm lying to myself. Why? Because Dan Rehoff won't sit there for 3 or 4 hours a day and play guitar like this guy does. I just won't do it. So I won't really give everything for that. Or you see someone that's really in shape. You know, you go to the gym, you see someone working. Man, I'd give everything to have abs like that person. Would you really? Would you give up Chick-fil-A? Seriously, you can't do it. You can't do it. There's just no way. So it's easy to say those kind of things and say, well, I'd just do it. You know, if I just had that, then I'd do it. It's easy to say that kind of stuff, but you're just not willing to have that sacrifice for things. Paul's saying, listen, I've got a goal in life that I want to be pleasing and honoring God, and I'm going to make the sacrifice. I'm going to do these things. I'm going to keep pushing forward. I'm not going to sit on my hands, and I'm not going to just sit back and kick back and relax. I am going to keep pushing forward. You know, I do that with my work. I'm working currently on getting certified as a Christian counselor. That's a stinking lot of work. You know what I have to do? I have to say no to an awful lot of things that I really, 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 really want to do in order to keep taking those really, 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 really boring courses, okay? But I have to do it. If you got something in your life that you just know I need to do, I'm gonna keep going, I'm gonna keep improving, I'm gonna keep working, I'm gonna keep pushing forward. Parents, you're raising kids. Is it easy? No. Is it hard? Yes. Don't quit. Keep moving forward. Keep learning. Keep studying. Keep reading books on raising kids. Look around to other people that have done a good job raising their kids. Get input from them. Keep pushing forward on it. Don't quit. I had a parent call me last week and said, Pastor, what books did you read to raise your kids? And I was like, holy cow, I just read a lot of books, and I just applied those books, and I just tried to, our kids aren't perfect, but I just tried to apply those things. But I had to say no to an awful lot of things so that I could say yes to a lot of right things for my kids, okay? And I think this is what Paul was talking about. You know, I think about this. When I was raising my kids, and some of you, brother, you're not going to like this, but I'll say it. I said no to a lot of sports for my kids. I just did. I had nothing wrong. I love sports. My son Cole, I'll be honest with you, Cole's really good at baseball. He plays basketball, but if Cole played baseball, he's like really good at baseball. But I had to, as a parent, say no to a lot of baseball. You know why? Because it interfered with something that was really important to God on Sundays. It's called church. So I said no to baseball because I had to say yes to Jesus. All right, that's just how it is. I love baseball. I love football. I love soccer. I think those are all great things. Parents, you're going to have to say no to a lot of things to say yes to the things that are the best things for your kids. I'm glad that I made those sacrifices and I said no to a lot of things. There's nothing wrong with baseball, but there is something wrong when baseball comes before Jesus. I talked to a family just the other week that told me in sadness, with tears literally in their eyes, they said, you know what? We raised our kids and we made some serious mistakes. I said, you did? What happened? And this guy told me, he literally told me this. He said, when he was growing up, when he was junior high, when he was high school, we played ping pong with him going to church. And he'd go to baseball one Sunday, he'd go to church, you know, once in a while. He said, I regret doing that. I said, why? I said, because our son has no interest in church now. He has no interest in Jesus. He has no interest in serving God. He has no interest in reading his Bible. He has no interest in any of that. We regret that. Guys, let me ask you a question. Do you think the coach of your sports team gives a rip if you miss church on Sunday? Let me ask you a question. Do you think the coach of the sports team is going to be there when that guy marries some young lady who isn't a Christian and someday it ends up in a divorce? Do you think he's going to be there for marriage counseling? Do you think so? What about the drug abuse that's taken place since then? Is the coach going to show up 20 years later and help this kid? Is he? No, he's not. He's not. You're going to have to say no to some things so you say yes to the right things. I know that's not popular, but it's the right thing. Parents, you better get really serious about raising your children because God's given you a calling to do it. You're a Christian. You don't raise your kids the way that the world raises their kids. But my cousin, my neighbor, but the coach, who cares? You do what God says to do with your kids. Okay? That's just the way it is. And then you'll be successful. Okay. Follow the plan. I kind of already cut into this. Follow the plan, verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but the one thing I do, verse 14, what do? I press toward the mark. I lean towards the mark. The one thing I'm doing, it's interesting, he says the one thing I'm doing. He doesn't say the 10 things I'm doing. He says the one thing I do, I'm pressing towards the mark. I'm doing these things. I'm pushing towards it. I'm leaning everything into this 100% to make sure that this goes a certain way. And there's going to be setbacks, there's going to be intrusions, there's going to be things in my way, but I'm going to get that ball across the finish line. I'm going to raise my kids, and I don't care what my neighbors say, what my cousins say, what my relatives say, I'm going to raise my kids to love Jesus. Period. That's where you say amen. Amen. Thank you. Should I try that sentence again? Yeah. I am going to raise my kids to love Jesus. Help me out, church. The sooner you help me out, the sooner we'll be done. All right. There's going to be setbacks. It's interesting he says this, that word there is in the present tense. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep going. And look what he says. Look at the end of verse 13. Forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth into those things which are before. I'm going to forget those things which are behind me. Pastor, I could never serve God because of the mistakes I've made. Listen, can I just give you a little inside scoop? I've been in ministry a long time. Here's an inside scoop. I don't know anybody that's in full-time ministry that has a perfect background. I just don't. I mean, I just don't. I know a lot of people that have made a lot of mistakes and are forgiven, and they kept going. And they've done some really great things for Jesus. So Paul's saying, remember what Paul did? First time we see Paul, he's doing what? Think. They're stoning a Christian. He's throwing rocks at a Christian to kill him. I got to forget these mistakes, these stupid decisions that I've made in the past, and I'm going to keep moving forward. The devil's the one that says, well, you can't serve God because you've done this. Isn't it great that the Bible says, I love that the Bible says, I'll remember your sins and your iniquities no more. Praise God. Amen, church. Whoa, praise the Lord. God doesn't hold that over us. Well, don't you remember? 5 years ago, Ted, don't you remember when you were in high school? My mom used to say that. I don't know why she said it to my older brother all the time. He was in high school, and she would always just bring up stupid stuff. You know, she'd say, don't you remember when you were in kindergarten, you messed in your pants? And my brother's like 16. He's like, Mama's 5 years old, you know? You know? And she just always kind of bring it up to him all the time, you know, and he was like really embarrassed about it. Aren't you glad that God doesn't do that? Aren't you? Well, when you were in high school, you did this. When you were in college, you did this. So guys, listen, just because you failed yesterday, you made some mistakes, or I failed yesterday, we keep going, and we keep going. Paul says, I'm going to work the plan. I'm going to do what Jesus wants me to do, and I'm not going to frustrate over the fact that I made mistakes in the past. It's kind of like riding a bike. Do you remember when you learned how to ride a bike? What happened the first time you rode a bike? You got up on the bike, and what happened? You fell over. And what'd you do? As a kid, what'd you do? You got back up on the bike, and then you rode for another, and you fell over, and you kept going. Why don't adults do that? You know, we took some people skiing the other day out in the lake. I love teaching people how to ski. And we had my great nieces. We were teaching them how to water ski. And this one little girl, I don't even know how old my niece was. She's like 8 or 10 or something like that. She just kept getting up and getting up and falling and getting up and falling and getting up and falling all day long. You put one of my older nieces or nephews who's like in college now, you put them in there, they fall once. Oh, I'm going to quit. And you're like, what? You know? You just keep going. You get back up on the skis. You get back up on the bike, and you fail, and you fail, and you fail, and you fail, and you keep going. Thomas Edison failed and failed and failed and failed and failed, and what? We keep going, right? Eventually you pull through. Eventually you have success. Eventually you keep going. Don't be married to the failures of your past. Sure, you learn from it, but don't let that be a roadblock. And then he says what? He says, I'm reaching out to those things in front of me. I reach forth into those things which are before me. This passage literally means to bend forward or to stretch out, to strain. Instead of dwelling in the past, he's reaching forward literally to the future. I saw it the other day. I was saw on TV. I don't know if it was a college game or if it was the Los Angeles game. I don't know which it was. But one of the players caught the ball. And he literally reached over the finish line. He didn't make it, but the ball, they had to do the cameras and do the slow motion. And touchdown. You know, it was just by an inch, this guy made it. But he didn't, but he just reached with everything he could, just stretched out, you know, full stretch. That's what Paul's saying. Listen, I'm reaching out to, yeah, I screwed up. I dropped the ball yesterday, you know, the last play, sure. But right now, today, I'm pressing forward. I'm reaching out inch by inch, foot by foot. I'm straining. I'm pushing forward to the mark. I'm doing what it is that God's called me to do. And without excuses, without complaints, without people getting in my way, I'm just going to keep moving forward and doing what God has called me to do. Parents, keep being the parent you're supposed to be, regardless of what your neighbors and aunt, uncle, and in-laws and all those people say. You do what you're supposed to do. Workers, employees, be the employee that you're supposed to be, regardless of what everyone says, regardless if it's not fair, regardless if someone didn't treat you right. Paul doesn't say in this passage, he doesn't say, I keep doing this until I've done it three times and then I quit. There is no ending to this. He just says, I keep going. He doesn't say, when I'm retired, I'm done. He doesn't put a date on it. He doesn't. He says, I've made some mistakes yesterday, but I'm going to keep pushing forward to whatever God has called me to do. Church, think about that. If none of us quit, myself included, and we all kept pressing forward to what God has called us to do in our personal life, imagine what great things we do for Jesus. But I'm pushing forward. I'm going. I'm working as hard as I can to make my marriage work, to raise my kids correctly, to be a good employee, to be a good citizen, to serve God at my local church. I'm doing everything I can just to make sure that I'm being everything that Jesus wants me to be. And Paul says, that's how you're going to be successful. In God's eyes, not the world's eyes, but in God's eyes, he said, that is how you're going to be successful. And he's not talking about our salvation, okay? Salvation is not a works. Aren't you glad it's not a works? Aren't you glad that he doesn't say, work really hard and press forward in order to get saved? If he said that, here's the truth, none of us would be going to heaven. We'd all be going to hell. I'm just thankful that salvation is a free gift. This verse behind me just lays it out so clear. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believes in him should not perish. It doesn't say whosoever pushes harder or raises their kids right or gets baptized or goes to church. No. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but has everlasting life. Believing the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried 3 days later, rose again. His death paid the mortgage for our sins. God, I can't pay it. God, I can never do it. God, I can't be baptized. I can't join a church to go to heaven. But I believe that Jesus died for me. I accept that. By faith, I don't understand it all, but I accept Jesus died in my place. That is when you know for certain you have eternal life. That's the free gift of the good news of the gospel. Isn't it? Amen, church, huh? All right, let's have a word of prayer today. Let's be done with our Bible study, and let's finish up. Lord, we're thankful for our time together. Lord, if there's someone here today that has never trusted in you as their Savior, someone today that thinks they have to join a church or get baptized or be a good person, turn from all their sins. Lord, I pray that they would understand today salvation is a free gift. It's not of works, lest we'd brag about it. There's nothing we can do. Lord, maybe in the quietness of their mind, maybe they could say a prayer. I don't know. Just speaking to you, Lord, so they're not making a mistake. Dear God in heaven, I realize I'm a sinner. God, I can't pay it. I can't. I can't work for it. But I know I've sinned. I know I've done wrong things. But I believe Jesus Christ paid for those sins. When he died on a cross, when he rose again, that proved he had paid for it. So God, I'm trusting what Jesus Christ did for me. He died. He did the work, so I don't have to. I'm trusting in that today, Lord. If someone's done that this morning, Lord, I ask that you just give them a special, special blessing in their life. They'd remember that today is the day they trusted in you as Savior. Father, would you encourage us to not quit? Would you encourage us to know what it is that you've called us to do? Would you encourage us to realize the process that it's going to take work, it's going to take effort. We're going to do it, and we're just not going to quit. I pray for the parents here today that are raising their children in this crooked and perverse and wicked world. Lord, it's a mess out there. Would you help the parents to raise their children with Christian values, with you on the forefront of their mind, not to please other people, but to raise their children the right way. Lord, for the employees here, the people that are working, the business owners that we have here, the managers, the entrepreneurs that are at this church, Lord, would you help them to be the employers, employees they need to be for you? Help them to be a testimony for you. Us as citizens, to be a testimony in our community, to our neighbors, to our friends. Lord, we pray for our nation, but revival starts here. Help us to be the people we're supposed to be. Help us not to become like the world, but be different than the world. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be different. Lord, I just ask that you would work in our hearts today. Thank you for Paul challenging us to not look back, but to keep moving forward. In your name we pray.
We are very interested in you and your spiritual growth. If you want to contact Dayspring for prayer or more information, you can reach us at 262-404-5092 or on the web at dayspringbaptist.com. Thanks for listening.